Dear congregation, friends, visitors, all who are gathered together with us, I know of nothing more important than that every one of us would know what is mentioned of in our text this evening, namely this new heart that God alone can give. And knowing what a new heart is not, knowing what a new heart is not enough. Thinking about a new heart is not enough. Praying for a new heart is not enough. We must have this new heart. And the promise of a new heart comes here in the prophecy of Ezekiel as part of the covenant blessing that God promises to a sinful people, to rebellious Israel, who find themselves in exile, far away from the land of promise, under the curse. And throughout this chapter, the Lord promises his undeserving people blessing upon blessing upon blessing. In verse 25, he says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. What a rich promise. I want to know what this water is. Where can you find water like that? Something that will cleanse me from all my filthiness, from all my idols. Well, Ezekiel was a prophet, but he had also been a priest, and as a priest, he had seen many sprinklings going on. It's part of the temple ceremonies, time after time throughout the various aspects of the temple service. There were sprinklings with blood, but also with water, especially if people had touched dead bodies and they had been defiled as a result. And here in exile, they were so far away from everything that spoke of the temple service. And yet God meets them, and God comes to them, and he says, no matter there is no priest with you, no matter they don't have the water of the temple, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. Do you want that water? Where can I find such cleansing? Well, you can find it in the same place that you can find this second benefit that we want to focus on especially this evening. And this is especially in verse 26 and following. But let me read at this time only verse 26. Where the Lord says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Well, our theme with God's help this evening is simply, a new heart also will I give you. And we'll look first of all at the nature of this new heart, secondly at the promise of this new heart, and then thirdly, the application of this new heart. So three simple thoughts. A new heart also will I give you. The nature of this new heart, we'll compare the stony heart with the soft heart. What's the difference? Secondly, the promise of this new heart. We'll look at all the different things God promises here in our text. And thirdly and lastly, the application of this new heart. What does this look like? And what lessons can we take away from this? Well, in our text, Ezekiel goes right to the heart of the matter, the human heart. And he pictures here in our text two different hearts. One, a heart of stone, and one, a heart of flesh. Picture that here with me tonight. A heart of stone and a heart of flesh. Now, children, you've learned about the heart in school maybe. That organ inside your body that pumps blood to all the different parts of the body. And it's central. It's critical. If you've got a heart problem, you've got a serious problem. You've got something that affects all of you. But the Bible here isn't talking about our physical heart, that which pumps that blood inside our body, but it's talking about the center of our being, the place where all the actions of our life proceed from. It's really the seat of the will, where everything that we ever think, do, say, and are springs from. And it's a vivid picture, isn't it? And God drills down into our heart, and he says many things in his word about our heart, but one of the things he says in Genesis 6, when he takes stock of the human heart after the fall, the imagination of the thought of their heart is only evil continually. That's what God thinks about your and my heart by nature. And Ezekiel gives all of this a graphic, vivid form when he says, by nature we have stony hearts. So let's remember from the outset here that we weren't created with stony hearts. When God made us in paradise, in Adam, he didn't put a stony heart inside of us. No, Adam's heart was responsive. It was alive. It was sensitive to God. It was warm towards his creator and maker. But after we fell, then our heart became hard and the very opposite of how it had been created. And think, children, with me of a stone. What's a stone like? Think of a heavy stone that you hold in your hands or that you try to move and you can't. It's really heavy. Now, a stone is hard, isn't it? You don't want to bump up against a stone. You will hurt yourself. And a stone is cold often and dense, isn't it? And heavy. And more to the point, it's insensitive. It doesn't, you don't touch a stone and it just kind of pulls in and out. It's not pliable. It's not moldable like clay that hasn't been hardened. No. You can't bend a stone. You can't change its shape. A stone is resistant. It doesn't accommodate anything that's put upon it. No, it pushes it away. A ball bounces against a stone, the ball moves away. Doesn't impact the stone at all. And that's what Ezekiel is saying about your and my heart by nature. It's heavy. It's hard. It's dense. It's dull. Remember Pharaoh, who hardened his heart. We read in Exodus 15 that he hardened his heart so much that when he died in the Red Sea, it says there in Exodus 15, his heart sank down to the bottom like a stone. So hard was his heart. And a stony heart, congregation, is insensible to the glory of God. God speaks his word, but the stony heart just pushes it away. It pushes away the gifts of God, the commands of God, the promises of God. It's insensitive to God. It's insensitive also to other human beings. Oh, there may be times when unregenerate man does something for someone else, but this may be common grace, or we're expecting something in return, but man by nature is proud and his heart is hard. And we can see this especially in how man relates to the Word of God. A stony heart hears the Word of God, but leaves unchanged. All the warnings, all the threats, all the promises, all the calls don't affect the stony heart at all. It's like that ground in the parable. The seed falls on it, but it doesn't go anywhere, and the birds come and pick it away. That's the human heart by nature. And not only does nothing penetrate the human heart by nature, but everything bounces off of it. The convictions that make others to melt, those who have a fleshy heart, a soft heart. The one with a stony heart, those same convictions come, but they're unchanged, they're unsoftened, they're untouched. Well, I ask you tonight, does this description of a stony heart ring true for any of you here tonight? You see, we all have it by nature. unless we're changed, no matter how many sermons you're under, no matter what you do in religion, no matter what great things you do or great things people around you do, you need a heart change. You need this heart of stone to be removed. And you need instead a different heart. And that's the second heart that Ezekiel talks about. He calls it the heart of flesh. He also calls it a new heart, a brand new heart. And let's just say here it's a soft heart, because that's what a heart of flesh is. It's soft. It's pliable. It beats with life. It's alive. It's like the heart that God created in the first Adam in paradise. A soft heart, congregation, is a heart that's responsive to God. God says something, and the heart wants to hear, and wants to hear more, and it wants to learn, and it wants to do what God calls it to do. A soft heart is a tender heart. It's a heart that's eager to learn from God. A soft heart is a humble heart, a heart that's not proud, that's not careless either regarding his or her situation, regarding eternity, regarding sin. A soft heart is the very opposite. It's humble because of sin. It doesn't want to sin. It's careful not to sin. And this fleshy heart, this soft heart, tears easily flow from this soft heart, you might say. Especially when we've sinned, or when we miss the presence of God. A soft heart is also a heart that's consecrated to God. It's not selfish like the stony heart. It doesn't want the world, but it wants the service of God. It wants communion with God. It wants the joy of the Lord as its strength. The soft heart is the place where God is on the throne. God rules and God reigns, and God communes with this heart. God speaks to this heart. God sheds his love abroad in such a heart. And not only is this soft heart responsive towards God, it's responsive to fellow man, to fellow believers, and to fellow man, people in need especially. The soft heart wells up with compassion towards those in need, with pity. It's open to the needs of people. It's touched with the feeling of others' infirmities. It does what it can. What kind of heart do you have? Do you have a heart that's learned to love God? Do you have a heart that cares about others? Especially the souls of others who are going on their way to a never-ending eternity. When you hear of calamities, even to the unregenerate, to the wicked, you don't say it serves them right, at least not quickly. You bleed, because their life is without God. They don't know what life is really all about. Congregation, the soft heart has its origin in grace. I want to say something here, and it's this. Don't think the soft heart is just because, you know, some people have a mellow personality. They're kind of placid. They have a kind character. And we can mistake that for the soft heart, but that's not what Ezekiel is talking about. And on the other hand, there are people who are strong and maybe stubborn even. And that doesn't mean necessarily that you have a stony heart. That strong and stubborn heart may very well be a heart in which God lives. If that heart has been graced by God, if God has come into that heart, strength and stubbornness can actually be used by God for good. Not selfishly, of course, but in God's service, the honor of God. And human weakness, if that's simply our character, that may be a flaw. So we're not talking about a character difference. We're talking about a gracious difference, something that God has worked in our hearts. In fact, sometimes people who have kind of this easygoing personality, this meek and mild character, sometimes they can mistake that for this soft heart. Or someone who's really kind of recalcitrant, stubborn, and self-willed. A lot of times they know that they don't have this soft heart. But at any rate, it's not what Ezekiel is talking about here. This is not personality traits. This is the work of grace in the soft heart and nature in the stony heart. But also, I want to just say, before we move on to our second point, just because some of you have a new heart, a soft heart, doesn't mean that you obey God perfectly. Not at all. Perhaps some of you, as you heard about the soft heart, you grew discouraged. You thought, well, that's not me. I wish I was like that, but I find myself coming so short of obedience to God, of love to God, of sensitivity to sin, to the needs of others, the condition of those who are lost. I wish I had that, but I fear, especially as I hear this now, that I don't. But I ask you, my friend, tonight, do you desire this? Do you desire, really, when you're honest before God, more than anything else, to have this soft heart, this heart upon which God has worked? Or are you content with a stony heart? Do you excuse the stony heart? Do you just say, well, that's just the way I am, and that's how it's going to be? My friend, as long as we're on this side of eternity, believers will always be bothered by the hardness of their heart. They will not follow God wholly as they would wish they could. And yet God has begun a work. And remember this, you who are bothered by the fact that you're still so stony, still so unresponsive, you remember that the stony heart doesn't feel this at all. It doesn't. It's not bothered about this at all. The stony heart won't even truly pray for a new heart. Not really. I mean, it might say the words, but it loves its sin, and it loves its life as it is, and it would be bothered to be changed. Despises, really, the soft heart and is very content to come into services and to leave services and to go back to sin and go back to the world and is content to be that way. It's a stone. It's a rock. It's hard. Well, these are the two hearts of which Ezekiel is speaking here. And here we have the nature, then, of the new heart. But we move here, secondly, to the promise of a new heart. And if you've been listening so far and you've been bothered by the fact that your heart is still so stony, even if you're a believer and you wish for this new heart so entirely, then listen with me carefully to the promise of the Lord, every aspect of it. There are six things we want to see about this promise of the new heart. First of all, I want you to see that it's a divine promise. And if you desire a soft heart, you will love this. Notice how the Lord says it. A new heart also will I give you. Do you hear that I, that divine I? God is saying this new heart doesn't come from yourself. You don't work this up within. It comes from me. I will give you. Now, it's true that in the Bible, actually in Ezekiel 18 verse 31, the Lord does say to his people Israel, make you a new heart and a new spirit. That's a curious verse. Make you a new heart and a new spirit. Is the Lord saying this because we can make for ourselves a new spirit and a new heart? No, not at all. In fact, he's saying this just so that we would find out that we can't do it. Have you ever tried to make yourself a new heart? Really sat yourself down and say, now listen, try this, I'll do that. Maybe if I try this hard enough, this rock hard heart of mine will soften, will melt. No. Anyone who's tried it will have failed. It's impossible. And that's why the Lord comes here in this promise, a divine promise, and he says, a new heart also will I give you. It's unilateral. It's sovereign. It's from God. He doesn't say, work yourself up a bit. He doesn't say, get yourself halfway and I'll do the rest. Make your heart just a little softer than it is and I'll do the rest. No, a new heart also will I give you. What a glorious divine promise. Secondly, it's a merciful promise. Or if you will, a condescending promise. What I mean by that is God stoops. God condescends to do this. God, who made his creature, his image bearer, perfect. And we fell from him. And we've turned our hearts hard. God says, a new heart also will I give you. That means that God will stoop down. God will, like he did with Adam in the garden, when he formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him the breath of life. So when God gives this new heart, he, as it were, descends, he condescends, he stoops down, and he takes that heart of stone. His divine hands, reverently speaking, they take that stony heart and remove it and give this heart of flesh. What a glorious thing. And sinners aren't asking for this. No. Sinners, like I said, don't do half of the work and then God does the rest. No. He, of his own accord, mercifully stoops down to do this work that you and I could never deserve. And what a merciful promise this then is. But thirdly, this is a radical promise, or it points to a radical work. That's an amazing thing in that in recent years, surgeons have been able to do heart transplants. I know early on in my life when I first heard about this, it was astounding. You almost thought, is this possible? To take someone's beating heart, remove it, and to take another heart and to implant that and have that same person live again. It's astounding what the Lord has allowed science to do. And some of us know people who have had heart transplants. What an amazing thing this is. But this world could go on for another 1,000 years, and man will never be able to give a spiritual heart transplant. It's just not possible. And that's why, what a radical blessing this promise points to. The Lord is going to do this radical surgery. He says, I will take away your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. Believer, sometimes you say to the Lord, Lord, what art thou going to do with this stony heart of mine? I hear this promise of a new heart, but what about this heart of stone? God says, I'll take it. Really, Lord, thou wilt take this heart of stone? The Lord does this surgery. He goes there where none of us would go. He comes into contact with this stony heart of ours. He takes it out and he mercifully gives this new heart, this soft heart that beats in line with him, in accordance with his love. And the Lord has done this countless times, not just once, not just to a few select people throughout human history, no, millions of times, we believe, the Lord has stooped down and done this radical change, this magnificent change in the hearts and lives of sinners. So it's a divine promise. It's a merciful promise. It's a radical promise. But it's also a comprehensive promise. That means it's full. It's complete. The Lord here not only promises to take away our heart of stone and to give us a heart of flesh, but he goes on, listen to this, I will put a new spirit in you. What does that mean? Well, the Lord will once again breathe into his fallen image bearer a new spirit. That's what he did in paradise. And that spirit is now dead. In fact, we have lost that spirit that God gave us at the beginning. And that's why in the next chapter, Ezekiel 37, you have all these dry bones in the valley, and there is no spirit in them. Just corpses, dry, dried up bones. But the Lord says in the previous chapter, I will give you a new spirit. In fact, he says here, this is amazing, I will put my spirit within you, my Holy Spirit. I will send my Holy Spirit from my Son, and he will indwell you. He will reside in you. He will take up residence in you, and he will be your spirit. Astounding, isn't this? Miracle of all miracles, and it's comprehensive. The spirit that God gave us at the beginning enabled us to know God, to walk with God, to follow God, to love God. And without a spirit, we don't do this. But with this Holy Spirit, we can know God. We can respond to God. We can walk with God. We can follow God. It's a comprehensive promise. It's fifthly a victorious promise. The Lord doesn't do here a half work. He never fails in this heart surgery. In fact, if you go on reading in the next verse or two, he says, I will cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. In other words, this will work. That obedience, dear believer, that you wish you could offer to the Lord says, I will make it happen. This new heart will be victorious. My work will be effective. This is my promise. You will walk in my ways. You will show forth this new life in new obedience. It's a victorious promise, and it is here then, sixthly, a blessed promise. Because what happiness comes to us when the Lord does this great work? Oh, maybe not initially. Maybe we're just crying like the prodigal son, like so many people. This new heart is so sensitive, so responsive to God, it wells up in tears, and it's so tender. Happiness might be the last thing from its mind, but the Lord says, blessed are all they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And when you go on in our text, verses 28, 29, and 30, let me just read them. The Lord gives the prospect of what will happen when he gives this new heart to his people. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. In fact, it'll be so good and so blessed that the people will say, well, it's like the Garden of Eden has come back. It's as if paradise is once again upon us. That's what the new heart will do. What happiness is yours if you have this new heart. Oh, yes, you might mourn here, but blessedness is yours already now and in the future. Oh, happy promise. Oh, happy people. Oh, happy new heart, which God works in our lives. Well, congregation, from these six things, do you see the richness of this promise? I ask you tonight, does this promise and the way the Lord speaks it here, doesn't this kindle hope in your heart and in your soul? Do you plead with the Lord? Lord, fulfill this in my life. I need this. I need this divine promise, this merciful promise, this radical promise, this comprehensive and victorious promise, and this blessed promise in my life. And you will see it worked out by faith, through the operation of the Spirit, as we see in our third and final point, the application of this new heart. Well, congregation, we've been speaking about really regeneration. That's what this is about. The same thing that Christ said to Nicodemus, you have here. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And here he says to his sinful, wayward people, he says, a new heart also will I give you. I'll regenerate you. I'll transform you. I'll give you this new birth from my side, whereby I open that which is closed. I soften that which is hard. I enliven that which is dead. As we close our message tonight, congregation, there are four points of application that I wish the Spirit would write upon our hearts. And the first is, what an encouragement this promise should be to each and every one of us. Because this promise, congregation, didn't come to good people. It was addressed to sinful Israel, fallen from God, under the curse, pining away, with no hope from their side ever to become new again. And to such sinners, the Lord says, I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you shall be clean. A new heart also will I give unto you. I didn't mention this, but notice how the Lord phrases this. He's given this great blessing of sprinkling with water and cleansing, or we would say the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, a new heart also will I give you. Reverently speaking, I'll throw in a new heart as well. It's nothing to me in the sense that it's so easy for me, the Lord, who am almighty and gracious and all-sufficient. A new heart also will I give unto thee. A new spirit will I put within thee. Do you hear how the Lord speaks this? What an overflowing fountain of all good. Could this ever have arisen into the mind of man? Would you ever have thought this out? Would Adam ever have imagined this there outside the Garden of Eden? Oh, God will take care of this. God will give us a new heart. No, but God comes running after the sinner as he does here in this text, and he says, I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you shall be clean. And a new heart also will I give you. Shouldn't that give us hope here this evening, whoever we are? No matter how hard our heart is, no matter how impossible we think it from our side to be, that God would ever do this to us. This is His grace. It's never earned. What an encouragement. And what an encouragement this should be to parents who find in their children hard hearts that won't obey. Hard hearts that find every excuse imaginable to not obey so often. And to parents who find their own hearts in the process so hard. That's one of the things about parenting is you look at your children, you see their hard hearts, and you realize as you deal with them, well, they don't have it from a stranger. And it's almost sometimes as if your own heart becomes harder. In the process, you're convicted, you're confounded about it. Sometimes parenting can make you cry out for this, oh God, give me that new heart and give it to my children. Lord, didn't thou promise it in their baptism? And indeed He did. He promised it in that sprinkling with water here. Baptism doesn't affect it. Baptism doesn't make it happen. Baptism is a sign and seal of the promises of God, of the covenant of God. And God is saying, as He does at the end of this chapter, I will yet for this be inquired of the house of Israel. No matter how sinful they are, I will do it for them. Plead with the Lord foreverly. And for all our children, parents, and for all those in our families, that the Lord would do this, that He would take reasons out of Himself and do this. Lord, Thou hast said, a new heart also will I give Thee. Lord, fulfill this promise. Take reasons out of Thyself. There's none in us. What an encouragement also to ministers to keep preaching, and to elders to keep bringing the Word. And for all of us to keep praying. Here is the reason. Not because we're good in any way. Not because people are so good. A new heart also will I give them. Lord, fulfill that here in this place and beyond these walls. Fulfill Thy promise. Thou hast said it Thyself. Lord, do it. And the Lord has ordained that through the preaching of the Word, that He would fulfill this and many other promises as well. What an encouragement, not only to parents and to ministers, but also an encouragement to you if you are struggling with your own hard heart. My friend, if that's you here tonight, if you've come in through these doors and that's you, you need to look away from yourself. You do. Look away from your hard heart, because it lies not with you. It can never come from you. But look to the one who says this in his word. Say, Lord, I read in thy word that thou art a God who, for reasons I will never understand, gives new hearts to people who have rock hard hearts. Lord, that's me. Is it possible? If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt, thou canst give me this new heart. Lord, do it. And you plead with the Lord, and you don't rest until you have that new heart from the Lord. Look away from yourself. Look to the Lord who promises it. So first of all, what an encouragement this is to seek it with the Lord. But secondly, what an earnest call this is to seek to have a tender heart. We should be alarmed if we see anything but a tender heart within ourselves. And we should make it our prayer. If that's you here tonight and you say, listen, I hear you. My heart is absolutely rock hard. My friend, Scripture gives you a prayer. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. Believers, you too, be scared of anything that is less than a sensitive heart, less than a tender heart. When you feel hardness coming over your life, when you remember in the past, indeed, you had that sweetness, you had that tenderness, you had that sensitivity, you opened the word of God, and it was as if every word came into your soul. You were sensitive to your sin. You didn't want to sin against God. You wanted his closeness. You wanted his nearness. You wanted his love. But those days seem to be gone. They seem far in the past. Oh, my friends, seek it again. Do the first works, Revelation 2. Repent and do the first works and seek that tender heart that's putty under the fingertips of the Lord. Sensitive also to the needs of people around you. Sensitive to those who are hurting among us. Sensitive to those who could use a helping hand. Sensitive to those who don't have a care for their souls. To weep for those who won't weep for themselves. To speak to them as you're able. To pray for them. Cultivate a tenderness. Be jealous of it. Don't let it go so quickly. When you see the opposite in your heart, fall on your knees. Seek it with the Lord. Plead this promise once again. Don't push away the warnings. Don't push away the convictions. Fellowship with others who have a soft heart, not with hard-hearted people around you. Hate hardness of heart in your heart, no matter how small it is. Parents, seek to cultivate in your children, too, a sensitivity to sin, to the love that the Word of God speaks about. Be discontent with a lifeless, heartless religion and plead this promise as we have it here in the Word of God. Lord, a new heart also will I give thee. Fulfill that in my life and all around me. So secondly, what an earnest call this promise is to seek tenderness from the Lord in all things. Thirdly, remember this. Remember that God softens hearts where Christ crucified is lifted up. God softens hearts where his Son is lifted up in the gospel. The law will never soften a single heart. Sinai has never once produced a soft heart. Yes, the Lord uses the law to show us our guilt, but never in a billion years would the law ever soften our heart. It cannot give life. And why are some of you clinging to this law and this law keeping as if that is your Savior? My friend, it cannot remove your hard heart. The law only condemns. It does not give life. It's the promise. It's the gospel. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. This soft heart will be in action and people will come to me. I will be the magnet that draws all these unto me. And so, congregation, where do we need to be found? At the foot of the cross, where Christ is lifted up in the preaching, in the gospel. Sinai kills, but Calvary gives life. Jesus Christ is the great giver of this soft heart. You can read of it on every page of the gospel. No one softened people as much as the Lord Jesus Christ. What softened that heart of that sinful woman who came to the feet of Jesus and she shed such tears and wiped his feet? But the love of Christ. What produced tears from this denying disciple Peter, Paul of Caiaphas? It was one look from Jesus that went through his soul and softened him and melted his hard heart. What softened the heart of Zacchaeus there in that tree? Zacchaeus, I say unto you, come down. And here's this soft heart, this responsive heart that obeys the word of Christ. What softened the heart of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus ready? If you can think of a hard heart, Saul of Tarsus. A stone. And Christ from heaven, all he does is he appears and he says, Saul, Saul, why? What do you have against me, Saul of Tarsus? Why do you kick against the pricks? Why are you so hard against love? Why are you so hard against a Savior who saves to the uttermost? Saul, Saul, why? And this hard heart melted. What happened to the thief on the cross? There he was blaspheming Christ in his last moments. Can you think of a hardened, can you think of a harder heart? This hardened criminal. Life is nothing to him. Was it not the love of the crucified Redeemer that melted his heart? We indeed justly, but this man has done nothing amiss. In those moments, the love of the dying Savior melted that man's heart. Do you see how it's the love of Christ that constrains? It's the love of Christ that softens. And congregation, the love of Christ, isn't that what will soften your heart as well? This generous, gracious God who in Jesus Christ was in the world reconciling sinners to himself, saying, I have no pleasure in your death, sinner. But in this, that you repent and turn from your sins, seek me, sinner, and live. This is the dying love of the Savior who is now in heaven and who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he sends forth repentance and remission of sins. He softens hearts even today. It's our prayer that tonight hard hearts would be softened under the word of God, under the touch of Christ through his Holy Spirit, that God would fulfill this ancient promise, that his love would be shed abroad in your hearts, that what the law could not do, being weak through the flesh, Jesus Christ would do, that hearts that came here rock hard, stony through and through, that Christ from heaven would display his power, and especially his love, by melting the hardest heart here. Friend, what do you have against Christ? What do you have against this loving Savior? Know that Christ softens hearts where he is lifted up and his cross is displayed. And fourthly and lastly, I'm going to urge you, don't leave life. Don't leave life without a new heart. I mentioned Pharaoh. He hardened himself despite all the calls, all the beckonings, all the entreaties for his soul. He hardened his heart and he fell like a stone to the bottom of the sea. What will it be to fall into that bottomless pit as a rock-hard sinner? When still today, before each and every one of you, this promise is held out, a new heart also will I give you. Plead with this God. Don't let him go. And don't lead life without this new heart. Amen.